Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Hear that? It's the sound of someone whacking the ground with a rake. Specifically, they're beating around the bush, which we've done enough of in this ad too, so let's get right to it. The new Moneymaker scratch-off from the Ohio Lottery doesn't beat around the bush. Moneymaker. Play the game and you could win money. Up to $2 million. With more than $88 million in prizes, ranging from $50 to $500, Moneymaker cuts right to the cash. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
You are listening to the Joe Rogan Experience Review Podcast. We find little nuggets, treasures, valuable pieces of gold in the Joe Rogan Experience Podcast and pass them on to you, perhaps expand a little bit. We are not associated with Joe Rogan in any way. Think of us as the Talking Dead to Joe's Walking Dead.
You're listening to the Joe Rogan Experience Review.
What a bizarre thing we've created.
Now with your host, Adam Thorne.
This might either be the worst podcast or the best one of all time.
One, go. Enjoy the show.
What's happening, my brother? Are you ringing us in today here, son?
Yeah, what's up, guys? Welcome to the Joe Rogan Experience Review. Sorry, I was like just off in my own little daydreaming world listening to our intro. Well, because I haven't been hearing it recently because of the new way we're recording. And I'm like, oh, I could hear it today. And it just sounded different.
Well, you're just...
Yeah, I don't know why I did that.
You're just hungover. Settle down.
Might be. What am I not?
Let's go.
Welcome to the show, everybody. This week, we got some pretty interesting guests. Brian Keating, professor of physics. Smart dude.
Just a little smart.
Hulk, the motherfucking Hogan.
Hulkamania.
Let's go. And then Dave Smith. I got a feeling Dave Smith's going to be on often. I think Joe really enjoys these conversations with this guy.
I think Joe's becoming a libertarian, son. I love it.
He might be.
Yeah, Smith. Smith is a smart one.
He is, dude. And he's a good comic, too. So, you know, he can always be at the store. And so interesting when he's on the pod, too. Like, if you only knew him either from the pods or from his political stuff, you'd have no idea that he's a comedian.
No, not at all. Not at all.
He really like, you know, because a lot of these guys that are comedians will come on and even cover political stuff like Dylan does. And, you know, he's still funny though, right? It's still like, oh, they're comedians. They're silly. But Dave is like, he's in the zone when he's discussing this stuff. He's
serious guy.
Yeah. Serious guy, but it works. It's important. There's a lot of good information they got to get in there. It's like he's not trying to impress you by being silly and cracking jokes. He's like, I got something important to say here.
Love it.
Anyway,
Love it.
Let's jump into Brian Keating.
Keating.
So he did win the Nobel Prize, right?
Yes.
Is that what it was?
Well,
Google this.
No. The book, I Googled it as well. So he wrote a book called I looked this up as well. Blah, 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 blah. I've got it up here. I think it's called, Brian Keating, Losing the Nobel Prize, the inside story of a quest to unlock one of cosmology's biggest mysteries derailed by the lure of the Nobel Prize. So, basically, what he's saying is you have these scientists who are, you know, want something so bad. Clearly, he wanted to win the Nobel Prize. He talks about how his father never won it and was pissed off, and he wanted to, you know, this is something that he's always wanted as a child. And I think the idea there is that the ambition that they're driven by in pursuit of Nobel gold, it's like they're getting deceived from the real idea of what they're doing science for, right? It's just like anything.
I get it. That's right. That's really what he was getting to.
You know, did Kurt Cobain want to be famous? Hell no. It drove him to eventually kill himself. If you believe that he killed himself, that's a whole nother story. Courtney Love. I don't know. Anyway, yeah, man, I think if you're a true scientist, right, you don't want to be lured by those things, but clearly he was. And I think it's cool that he wrote a whole book about being lured by it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the pursuit for certain things, it's like, it makes sense. You know, it makes sense that I don't know, there's like a price to be paid, right? It's like that glory is...
Well, look, clearly this kid has been a kid. He's probably a little bit younger
51.
Than us. Is he 51? He looks young.
Yeah.
Looks good. But, I mean, he was 5 years old, you know, he kind of always knew he wanted this, right? It sounds like his dad was a scientist and big into math and that sort of thing. So, and it was something that he's always wanted to do. And he even said he always wanted the Nobel Prize. That's kind of a crazy goal, right? Like, I just want to maybe learn how to play guitar. No, I want to win the Nobel Prize. No big deal.
It's certainly ambitious.
Maybe I could learn Spanish. You know, I'd like to be, you know.
First off, I'd like to say this is what I really enjoyed about him is one, he obviously is really enjoying podcasting, right? You know, his show is, I listened to some bits of his own show and it's picking up steam. You know, obviously there's going to be a Rogan bump with it. It's not a huge show yet, but it's good. And he is an excellent science communicator, you know? So many of these super smart scientists are just kind of, I don't know, like just too nerdy to like really be able to explain what's happening. So
the best you
get often is like really good teachers or professors in this subject that have specialized because they've learned to communicate these really complicated things. And he just had a fun way of doing it. You know, it was like engaging. You know, he wasn't like super nerdy to where it's like, you know, you're rolling your eyes at the silly things that he's saying, enthusiastic the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even when he was talking really quickly and just like rattling off points and jumping from one idea to the next, I mean, sometimes that's a lot. Sometimes when you're listening to a podcast, especially for hours, which is what Rogan's platform is, it's just like, oh, dude, slow down. Like, take a breath.
Well, Joe kept bringing him back. Joe did a really good job of like, hey, we're getting off topic. He must have said it five times. We're getting off topic. Let's go back to what we were talking about. Right. I mean, this guy's so smart.
But it wasn't so much like, you know, that will often happen when he has like famous rock stars on there. Rock stars seem to do it. They just like waffle on and go on crazy tangents. And they're like just very difficult to pay attention to. At least with him, he would just jump from like one factoid to another.
Right.
And he, you know, for Joe, I think it was just a few points where he didn't like clearly answer the question, you know, especially with the UFO thing. So he was talking about why he doesn't necessarily believe there's other aliens, but then would give all these different examples. And I think it was just getting away from the point for Joe. But the amount of information, like you just got the sense that he knew what the fuck he was talking about. For sure. In a lot of areas. It wasn't just physics. Like, the guy has a ton of information in that big head of his.
Yeah, it was cool, man. And I think, to go back to your point of this whole, you know, I talk well, he talks well, he's not your typical nerdy scientist who doesn't get behind a microphone. But that is how you sell things. You need to get funded, and I think that's what a lot of his book is talking about. I haven't read the book, but from the prologue that I read, it seems to be like the only way you're going to get ahead in science, you have to be an influencer a little bit. You know, there's a reason why Elon Musk is so influential, even though he's kind of a crazy weirdo. He's good at getting in front of people. He's good at getting the press. He's good at, whether he's good at talking or not, he's doing enough of it in front of the press and getting it out there enough to where people are talking about it. And you're not going to get funded for science if it's not being talked about. You can't just sit in a hole and fucking, you know, create a telescope without funding. I mean, they didn't even talk about how much this Bicep 2 costs, but good God, it must be billions of dollars to create this telescope, I would think. I have no idea.
Yeah.
Maybe I should look that up, but
yeah,
pretty freaking cool, dude.
Though, right?
17,000 feet.
It is. It's interesting to be like, you know, this is why these guys are so important. Right, whether it's Neil deGrasse Tyson or him or what was he, Maku? Who's the Asian
Michio Kaku.
Michio Kaku, yeah.
That guy's
a legend.
Love him.
I mean, because because they make you so interested in it, and it sounds cool, the shit they're doing.
Right.
Right? You don't just think, oh, they're looking at space. What a bunch of nerds. You're just like, man, this is great. We got to build this thing.
Yeah.
Like, we got to find out more answers about stuff.
It's like every scientist.
Interesting. I know we talked about Rogan shooting that tweet out.
Yep.
Or that Instagram post about the universe being twice as old as it was. And you know what we thought it was. It was cool for Brian to like put that kind of to bed.
Yeah, what did they say? 26 billion years, they were saying.
Yeah, but that's kind of like a debunk thing. Mm. Like, as far as we know, it's still 13 point whatever, and it's like, you know, okay, good. You know,
okay.
Even though it sounded cool that we were, it was older. I was just like, wait a second. It was like unnerving to hear that, because then you're like, oh shit. Like, are we that clueless that we don't know?
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
This podcast is brought to you by DraftKings. Step into a world of nonstop action on DraftKings Casino. Play the classics like blackjack, roulette, and slots. Plus, enjoy exclusive games you can't find anywhere else. Right now, new customers can get a deposit match up to $100 in casino credits when you deposit $5 or more. All you have to do is sign up, select the offer, make your deposit, and start playing from a full suite of games. Download the DraftKings Casino app now, sign up with promo code JRER, and new customers get a deposit match up to $100 in casino credits when you deposit $5 or more. Only on DraftKings Casino with promo code JRER.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Michigan, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, West Virginia. Please play responsibly in partnership with Hollywood Casinos at Charlestown Races in West Virginia. All games regulated by the West Virginia Lottery. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. 21 plus. Physically present in Connecticut, Michigan, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, West Virginia only. Void in Ontario. One per opted in new customer. Minimum $5 deposit. Max match $100 in casino credits, which requires one-time playthrough within 7 days. See terms at casino.draftkings.com/playerschoice. Restrictions apply.
So much.
I think so.
It's like, you like to think we know some stuff.
Well,
like
clearly,
the
Brian.
Universe is.
Clearly, Brian Keating knows, but I'm not getting a. Well, it looks like there's a bicep 3 now. Is that a whole different thing? I'm trying to get the.
Oh,
of course.
It?
Well, they're not going to tell us how much it costs, you know? I mean, this was back in. Yeah, this is a totally different thing. Cosmic microwave background equipment. Yeah, I don't know. Sorry, it's above my head.
No worries.
Biggest astrophysics discovery of the century may have been wrong. This was in 2014. This is talking about the Bicep 2. So the Bicep 2 is in Antarctica. The one that he is building currently is not finished. Is that the thing, or are they just now finishing it, this one in Chile?
Oh, I don't think it's finished.
Okay, so I need to figure that out. I need to figure that out. I thought the, I think a lot of what he was talking about, this moral obligation that scientists have to tell the truth, that resonated with me quite a bit of just, look, we need to tell people the truth. I mean, we get so much, you know, so many facts skewed and so many things we don't even know if AI's talking about it or if it's even real anymore, and scientists have a moral obligation. I starred that one because that was just cool to hear, man. Because, you know, a lot of the times it does get skewed and a lot of people don't believe in science, or they only, you know, there's a lot of religious people who think science is bunk or whatever. It's like, no, we're just here trying to find the truth. That is the point of science. It's just a bunch of theories that get tested over and over and over. We're just trying to figure out the fucking answer, right? That is science.
Yeah.
And
well, it should be. You know, there's still biases. There's still, you know, they're going to make mistakes. And, you know, I always think it's great when a scientist is like, you know, humble enough to say, yeah, I may be seen as like one of the smartest people in my field, but honestly, we don't know what is even true.
Right.
It's like, this is the best that we think that we figured out. And most of it's hypotheses, and a lot of it will be proved wrong eventually, but this is the best we got right now. you know, instead of saying that's the truth, this is how it is, this is, it's A plus B equals C, and that's the answer.
Mm.
You know, it, I don't know, that kind of thing gives me some more confidence.
Pretty cool, buddy.
Let's jump on to Galileo, dude.
Mm.
What a guy. This guy is obviously big fan of Galileo.
Huge fan of Galileo. Was he in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure? I can't remember if Galileo was part of that crew with Socrates.
I think so. I know Einstein was in there. What did they do in the second one? They went back in time and like grabbed all the smartest people in the universe
Something? Yeah, with Rufio, freaking George Carlin. Mm-hmm. I thought that was the first one, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. The second one was a little bit different. They did go back. Fuck, who knows? That came out in the 80s. Dude.
It's blurring. But anyway, he tried to invent the watch.
Mm-hmm.
You forget that we haven't had fucking clocks for like more than what, 300 years?
Yeah, yep. How crazy
Everything
is that?
Was a sundial. How did anyone meet up? You're like, yeah, I'll meet you over there.
Well, around. Dude, they're all, I mean, they're not driving around in cars, so they're all just walking around the goddamn city. They're like, hey, meet me at the pub, aka the hot pools with your, you know, with the wine that has some, you know,
mescaline in it.
No, it's the ergot. Thank you. Yeah. Meet me in the pools. We're going to trip out and we're going to talk about philosophy. I mean, how dope is that? Let's go.
Yeah. But how did they figure out when to meet up? I mean, people could be on horses and go to like the next village or whatever. I guess they knew like days.
Well,
it was like, I'll see you tomorrow.
But honestly, it's like half past Leo's ass, a quarter to fucking Aquarian's balls, dude. That like when the sky hits that point of Aquarian's balls, that's when we go to the hot pools.
Okay, I believe it, and that is excellent.
Everyone
has
a telescope.
That may be one of the funniest things you've ever said.
I just had that one right there.
I like it.
Yeah,
I mean, it kind of seems like that's how they would have done it, right?
Everyone's got a telescope.
You astrology.
There you go. You're looking at the stars.
All right, so John Harris in 1759, a clockmaker from Yorkshire County.
There you go.
UK.
Sounds like it.
Solved the problem of longitude by inventing a timepiece that could tell the correct time at sea.
Pretty dope.
There you go. Yeah. The little clock there.
Pretty cool.
Yeah,
so what else did he
long.
Make? Galileo obviously knew a lot about the stars. I mean, that's how they fucking, you know, navigated ships back then, right? Galileo Galilei. I mean, how fucking sweet is that? Galileo di Vicentario Bonaluti de Galilei, commonly referred to as Galileo, was an Italian astronomer, physicist, and engineer, sometimes described as a polymath. I don't even know what that means.
What did it say?
Born in February 15th. Oh, word. He's an Aquarian, bro, of course.
No. What did it say, though? A poly what?
He is sometimes described as a polymath. Should we look up what polymath means?
I bet it just means, like, someone that can do all sorts of shit.
A person of a wide-ranging knowledge or learning. Okay, so, you know.
Exactly.
You're a polymath.
The definition that I gave.
You're a polymath. Good job. born February 15th, 1564. Pretty dope.
Yep. Did some good stuff. Lived to like 80.
Father of observational astronomy. He studied speed and velocity, gravity and free fall, principle of relativity, inertia. He invented the thermoscope and various military compasses and used the telescope for scientific observations. I always thought of him as just the guy who made the telescope, right? I didn't even know about this other stuff.
Well, the big thing for him was that he figured out really clearly that we go around the sun and the sun doesn't go around us. So we're not the center of the universe, right?
Right.
And the church did not like that, and they were pretty pissed off.
Mm.
And according to our boy Brian, the church still hasn't officially forgiven him or pardoned him or whatever.
Yeah.
So
met with opposition.
Turns out that the church, takes some time to make some choices there. So
well, it contradicted the Holy Scripture, Adam, and that is an absolute no-no because they control the world at the time. They don't want to lose their power.
Does it really say in the Bible that we're in the middle?
You're going to have to ask somebody who knows the Bible. I don't know the Bible well.
But either way, they would not happy about it.
I do know that I was God-fearing up until about the age of 12. And then once I got through catechism, I was like, fuck that noise. So Galileo was the man. What else do we have here, dude? The very low probability that aliens are real. Let's get into that before we switch over to the Hulkamania.
I'm not convinced with
that's upsetting.
With what he was saying there. I mean, he wasn't being convincing. He kind of went around in a circle. I mean, I get it. Like, if he's just dealing with percentages and likelihoods, I mean, you know, the most convincing part of that argument, really, and remember, I'm super biased because I want to believe that they're there, is that he is looking out into space all the time and looking at microwave radiation always. He's like very good at this, one of the best in the world probably. And, you know, it's like where, like, there's no signals that they're picking up for shit flying here. So
yeah, you would think they'd talk to us, and that was a compelling argument. Like, hey, if aliens are here, they would be talking to us somehow. Even if their crafts aren't showing up here, he's saying, yeah, like, we would hear from them. So
There would just be something, you know, that they could pick up on.
The likelihood that there's not life on Mars, even though there could be, that was somewhat compelling too. But isn't Mars too fucking hot anyways?
No, dude. Mars is cold, I think.
Oh, okay. Well, either way,
it's further away.
What he's saying is that the closest planet to us is Mars, right? That's what he's saying. And there's no life on Mars, but there could have been, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, maybe there was a nuclear war there. Let's go. Let's go, Post Malone. I loved his theory about the noxious or whatever that was, the gas that they're finding that could have been from nuclear explosions.
Yeah. What was it, xenon?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Freaking.
Yeah, could have been nuclear war up there.
But yeah, saying Fravor, you know, and Ryan Graves, yes, they saw it on radar, but he's still not convinced. That, you know, that hurt a little, because this guy is obviously so fucking smart, and you just want to believe. You want to believe. And it's getting harder and harder to believe, especially.
Remember, basically, these scientists, when you believe in science, you're trying to find facts.
Right.
That's a big part of what you're doing, right? You're, in a sense, you're a detective of the universe.
There you go.
And you need hard evidence. And facts are tangible things. That really hasn't been presented.
True.
Like, what we have is a scan through instrumentation. And there's the potential for that to not be functioning well or correct, right?
I hear you.
So even though I'm not on his side for that one, it's like, yeah, it's not illogical. It doesn't make me hear him and think he's less credible. I'm like, I appreciate what he's saying, and I'm like, yeah, that's probably something we should pay attention to a little bit.
Love that.
Think about it.
I got one more thing to say, and then let's move over to the Hulk. I appreciated the last question that was presented to Joe by Brian, which was, if you could go back and give yourself 30 seconds when you're 20 years old, what would you tell your 20-year-old self?
Oh, yeah.
That was just fucking great. He's like, nothing. Life is a grind. Go through it. I got nothing.
You know what I really liked about that is, like, Rogan, you know, he, like, that's really what he thought about it. I don't know if he'd ever been asked that or even considered the question.
He knew it right away.
Pre-planned. And I don't think anyone would answer that question like that.
No, I wouldn't.
Almost everyone has an answer. And honestly, I would think that I would have stuff to say until I heard what Joe said about it. And then I'm like, you know what? I'm fucking on board with you, Joe.
You like that?
Because, yeah, I thought it was great.
You wouldn't tell yourself anything.
I don't think I'd listen. I don't think I'd believe it. And I don't think it would help. And you know what? Let's say I did, right? Let's say I listened. I was like, oh, shit, that's me from the future. And like, that's someone I can trust. They're obviously trying to help me, right? Because it's me. You know, then you might obsess about whatever that thing is, and I don't know, fall short of it or just not be ready to hear it, so you can't even process it the right way. It's like, I don't know, man. I think it would almost be cooler just to be like, hey, brother, enjoy the ride.
Yeah.
It's going to be wild. Appreciate as much as you can.
Yeah. You know what I would say? Forever. This is what I would tell myself. I would straight up be like, look, life is hard. You're going to go through a lot, but just try to focus on your friendships and, you know, being the most loving person you can be and trying to be the most positive person you can be. Don't let the negativity get in the way. And I know that's so cliche, but like I've spent so many days overthinking things and like thinking like, oh, what could I have done to change things? And then ultimately everything ends up working out and being for the better. Even when you're going through it, it doesn't feel that way. You get through it and you're like, oh fuck, that needed to happen, even though it sucked so bad.
Yeah.
So really just being like, hey, well, all the negative shit that you have to go through, you're just going to have to get through it maybe with a little bit more, with like a little bit less anger.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
You know?
Yeah.
So anyway.
Are you sure you don't want to say, listen, younger Todd, just wait till you meet someone called Adam and then listen to them.
And okay, there you go. There you go. That's good. Moving on. Moving on.
Movingon.org.
To the Hulk.
All right. The Hulk. Come on. Oh, let's buddy. Fucking go. What an absolute legend. I mean, come on, dude. Think about what he's done.
Isn't he like 70 now? How old is Hulk, actually?
Yeah, 70 years old. God. Started wrestling in 1977. Damn.
I got to see some old photos of Hulk with the long hair in a rock and roll band. He mentioned that he was in a rock and roll band like 85 times. So I'm going to pull it up, but I've got a lot of notes. Why don't you start? I'm going to pull up a photo of
6'7". You know, freaking almost 300 pounds.
He's 6'7".
I think.
Jesus.
Yeah, he was. Remember, he's like 6'4" now because he's had a lot of back surgeries.
Oh, right. Hulk in a rock band. You know, I appreciated this was towards the end, but man, did I appreciate him believing in the law of attraction. That's what's up. Love that. I love the secret.
Yeah, he seemed a real positive outlook. I mean, he was like humble. You know, he didn't sound like all that braggadocious on that. He sounds like a sweet guy. For sure.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And here we still, go.
Here just we go.
So fun.
I wish you guys could see this right now. Uncovering the facts about the musical past of Hulk Hogan. Oh, he looks so dope. He's got a fucking do-rag on. He's got glasses and long ass blonde hair. Yes.
That's awesome. I wish long we could find some of his songs. And
bass
play
player in a band called Ruckus. Before finding his calling in wrestling, Hulk Hogan, Terry Bollea, right? His real name's Terry Bollea, was a long-haired bass player in a band called Ruckus. Little did he realize how much his life would change after playing a gig in Daytona. All right.
Damn.
Anyway, Ruckus was my last band, he says.
Legend.
He wasn't a big sports guy. He just wanted to play guitar. And then that, you know, they start out at towards the beginning there of talking about him going to, what was it, some sort of training spot or gym that he would go to, and the fucking dude broke his leg on purpose. What was that all about?
Yeah, back in the day with wrestling, it was like, it was a brutal environment. You know, there were like all these territories and they were all broken up. There's actually a great little documentary on wrestling and how the WWE guy Vince McMahon like really kind of combined it by like taking over all the territories and making it the ginormous sport that it has become, or like entertainment thing. It's not sport, right?
Was that Vince McMahon senior or junior?
Junior.
Okay. Yeah. The son.
So the dad respected the lines, respected the territories, was like, don't cross those, because you know these guys would freaking go to war with each other. I mean, it was a brutal time.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And, and also the business was brutal. It was like, we want to see what you're made of. Like, let's find out if you can hang. And if you stick around after we abuse you, you can stay. I mean, yeah. Talk about fucking putting the work in. I bet these guys have a lot of respect for each other. And you hear it, like, because he would say, oh, we hated each other for a long time, man. But now we're cool and we hang out and we make fun of each other. It's like the respect comes in. But there was... There sounded like a lot of aggressive, you know, play going on.
Pretty cool. Well, I'm reading kind of this history here, and he did go into
read
it a little bit.
I need to take a piss anyway.
All right. So he says, I'm reading this this from ProWrestlingStories.com. It says that one of the late great wrestlers named Jack Briscoe was the world's heavyweight champion back in the day. So this would have been 1970, it looks like. Jack Briscoe saw Hogan's band playing, and he says, I went to this nightclub called The Other Place. It was about midnight. I walked in, standing there was Hulk Hogan playing guitar in a band. He was so impressive. Was only 21 years old at the time. God damn, I thought if I had that boy, I could become rich. And then he laughs in parentheticals. They went on break. I came over to him at the table for a beer. I asked him, did you ever think about being a pro wrestler? And Hogan answers, it's what I've always wanted to do. I'm a big fan of yours. I've been watching you for years. I've always wanted to do that. Goes on to him saying he introduced him to Eddie Graham and Hiro Matsuda. Hiro Matsuda was the guy who ran the gym in Florida. And looks like that's how he kind of got started in the wrestling world. It's pretty dope.
That's fucking cool. I mean, think of just how massive he was. It's like, of course, he'd be great for something like that. And you just don't see human beings like that. Talking about human beings you don't see existing, Brock Lesnar, they talked about.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously Hulk and Brock have known each other for a while. They've been working together, all the rest of it. And just talking about how committed he is, how what a super athlete. When Rogan pulled up his stats, he runs a 40 and 4.7, can bench 225 35 times.
Killing it.
A 10-foot, what was it? A 10-foot long jump or a 10-foot something?
Is that what
standing
it was?
Long jump?
I didn't write notes on that one.
Dude, the guy is like, that's incredible to move a body that quickly that's so huge. Brock is an unbelievable athlete. And here's the thing, Todd, and you may not know this, but you know, obviously I'm a big UFC guy. Brock came over from WWE, got into training. Now, he was a great collegiate wrestler. Like, yeah. He literally had like 100 win streak record in college. I don't think like anyone ever beat him. He
That's
was like 100 and maybe one loss. I don't know. Yeah, he crushed it. Then went and played football. Then he did WWE. But then he went over to the UFC, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he fucking became the heavyweight champion. I mean, he was terrifying when he was on top.
And this was what year?
Smashing people. When did he do that? 2008?
Okay.
I think, somewhere around there.
See,
I remember being in New Mexico. I remember watching it with my, our boy Dave.
Mm-hmm.
Good old Dave. Shout out to Dave.
Dave-o.
One of his friends was over at Dave's house. We were watching the fights. And his very first fight, he was up against a legend. I can't remember the guy's name. It was like Crazy Horse or fuck. I can't remember. Anyway, that was like his nickname. And Brock just comes out and just barrel charges him and just like freaking tackles him into the cage, like smashes him. And it was at that moment we looked at each other and I was like, dude, this guy is going to be something serious. Because we weren't sure what to think of it. We were like, he's WWE. He's not going to know how to fight. These guys are going to beat the fuck out of him.
Right.
Not true. Not true. And he's kind of underrated, man. People talk a lot of shit about Brock, but
I appreciated having Tony on there, right? Because Tony is such a wrestling fan. I mean, we're the same age. Tony's maybe a couple years younger than us, but he was way into WWF back in the day. And I remember going over to my buddy.
Oh, he still is, dude.
Robbie Goldman's house. Who knows if the kid's even alive anymore, but his parents were loaded and they always had the frickin' WWF, pay-per-view back in the late 80s. And that, I was hooked on that as a young kid. I might have been, 8 years old at the time, 6 years old, something like that, when those were happening with Andre the Giant and, all the people, freaking Jake the Snake, Hogan, Macho Man Randy Savage. That was such a big part of my childhood that I can remember. And so Hogan does that, and he ends up being the champion and getting the belt, right, on one of those. I mean, WrestleMania went for fucking probably, 8 years, 10 years? And then he's gone from that, and then McMahon brings him back. He signs on with Ted Turner, right? I didn't realize Turner was part of that company back then, right? That was either CNN.
Yeah, that was kind
of
interesting.
Was that CNN or something else? It was just a different broadcasting network. Signs Hogan, and then he comes back on to fight The Rock. How dope was that? I had no idea. I mean, any of that happened, right? Because I just stopped watching wrestling after the early 90s. It just wasn't a thing I did. Clearly, that was just as big, if not bigger, when Hogan comes back on. And this is, at that point, now it's WWE, right? It's Vince McMahon's show.
That's it. Because they got
the
sued
Rock.
By the World Wildlife Federation or something dumb over the fucking...
Did they?
.com, yeah.
Oh, fuck me. I didn't know that. So anyway, like, The Rock is what, in his 20s? And Hogan's up there in his 50s, like early 50s, and they're just going to town. And it was so fun to hear those old stories of just him wanting to be this bad guy, and just everyone just loved it. It didn't matter. It was Hulk.
Didn't matter. Everyone loves Hulk Hogan. Come on. Dude, I went to, so back in, I think it was like 2000, and my guess would be like 2005, I would say, in Ohio. I had some buddies coming over from England, and I just got him tickets to the WWE because it was coming to Cleveland, and I never watched it live and hadn't watched it for years, but I was like, let's go check it out. That'd be fun. We'll all have a blast. I was in my early 20s. Dude, the atmosphere at those things is insane. Like, it just is the wildest.
So much energy.
Event. Like, forget really any sporting event you've ever been to. People lose their fucking minds. And what was awesome about it, so Hulk Hogan had kind of retired then, so no one expected him to be there. He shows up.
Come on.
Gets in the ring, does his whole hand waving, like, listening to the crowd thing in every area. He didn't actually wrestle. But he just came out just to make an appearance.
Tight.
And, oh, dude, that place was on fire.
That's badass.
It was honestly, like, one of the funnest kind of events I'd been to. Like, and that includes, like, good concerts and stuff. Just because of the vibe, though.
Oh,
you know,
sure.
The energy.
I'm sure.
It was out of control. What did you think about how many times he used to have to perform? And how
unreal.
Absolutely brutal that sounds.
Well, it reminded me of the American Gladiators. I don't know if you saw that documentary that came out recently, within the last year.
I have, but just I've heard
how,
that's good.
Yeah, it just reminded me of that because it, you know, they talk about how every night they had to go out and just get their ass beat and perform every single night, and they're going back on the bus every night and traveling to different, you know, spots, just like Hogan was doing. It's like you're just in an ice bath for every minute you're off of that platform or that stage. You're in an ice bath, basically. And it was in Hogan.
You would just think that so many of them get addicted to painkillers. I mean, you heard him talking about all that fentanyl.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah, getting shot up with fentanyl.
And getting addicted to pills and then not being able to get off them. I mean.
Well, that happened
so
to Jake
brutal.
The Snake. That's another documentary that's really good about Jake the Snake, who he became addicted
excellent.
To pills and just drank his life away. And now he's sober and crushing it. But I remember Jake the Snake from back then, too. Rowdy Piper, like all those guys. Who knows
who,
where
who
they're
was
at?
The guy that helped Jake the Snake out? Dallas? Diamond Dallas?
Can't remember.
That guy? He's another wrestler, but he has like... he basically will take these guys in and then they do like these yoga programs and then they, you know, kind of like wean themselves off and get strong again and get moving.
Well, just think about how fucked up all their bones and their backs and arthritis and all this stuff. I mean, when you see that Jake the Snake documentary, you can't even walk. And then, he starts doing yoga. He's gets off the pills. Hopefully he's still clean. Shout out to Jake the Snake. Hopefully he's keeping it real. But man, he was a mess.
Yeah.
He was a freaking mess. And think of that guy was like Hogan. Same thing. He was the world heavyweight champion for a while, was he not?
I'm pretty sure. It just breaks my heart to think that these like basically these guys were superheroes to us as kids.
Oh yeah.
If you think about it, they really are. It's like Arnold Schwarzenegger. You know what I mean? They're like superheroes. So like to see them get old and not be able to move like that is heartbreaking.
Yeah. It is.
It's like the price they had to pay to be that.
Jake Roberts never won a world title. Maybe that's why I started drinking. Poor guy.
That's some bullshit.
Oh, well, either way, I remember him being one of the biggest, you know, wrestlers at that time.
Pretty, oh, it's Diamond dope. Dallas Page. Of course it is. He's the guy that's like really been helping people.
Nice.
And doing the yoga, and he helped Jake the Snake. And yeah, he was great on Rogan. I really liked that guy too.
Fuck yeah. He should have Jake the Snake on next.
He's had him on.
Oh, he has?
Yeah, Rogan had him on.
Sick. I didn't know that.
And again, Tony was there. Tony fucking loves it. He geeks out so hard. And what I love about it is like he doesn't even say a lot. He just wants to be there and enjoy it mm-hmm. and be a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And he's like ripping on Hogan for not knowing how to Google things. Dude, I liked his attitude. I thought he was super positive.
Absolutely.
I liked that he's like humble. He's about caring about people. You know, he's obviously leaning into a religion for guidance.
Good for him.
And keeping him straight, and he seems happy.
He's
in
got
this
another hot
relationship
blonde.
That he's in.
Another hot blonde.
Of course he does.
He couldn't stray away from the blondes, you know. She's like 20 years younger than him. He loves their kids.
Hard to do.
Good for him, man.
Hell yeah. Well, lastly, before we move on, what about him working with Stallone and Mr. T? How dope is that?
A-Team, baby.
Yeah, come on.
I didn't realize that he was in that movie back in the day with Stallone. He almost
what?
Got. Yeah, I didn't. That wasn't from Rocky. That was something else.
It was.
Oh, it was
no,
Rocky?
No, that was Rocky, dude.
Oh,
yeah.
Clearly I haven't seen Rocky in a long time. Was that
Rocky
3?
I think it was Rocky 2.
Huh. I'm going to have to watch those
again.
Yeah,
so I'm pretty sure it was Rocky 2.
Because he lifted him up and just freaking body slammed his ass. He said he fucked up his shoulder when he did it. Or collarbone. Was that Rocky 2? I don't remember that. I remember
Hulk Hogan's appearance in Rocky 3.
Rocky 3, okay.
Rocky 3, 1982. So basically what it was is, Stallone is like the champ now,
mm-hmm,
right?
Because
he won the title in the second one.
Right.
And it was a charity event that they had put on in the movie. It's like how they set it up. So it was like wrestlers versus boxers. And, you know, it's that whole thing, wrestling's fake. And, you know,
oh, right, because Mr. T was in that too. And Apollo Creed helped train him. Okay, I'm remembering now. Okay.
Yeah. And he just freaking gets his ass beat by Hulk Hogan, who's like having a great time and loving it. Just throwing him all over the place.
Oh, fuck. That's awesome.
He only got paid $14,000 for that too.
Hmm.
I mean, that's a lot of money in 1982. I guess you could say it's like, I don't know what that would be today, maybe $50,000. But it's not a lot for a movie.
Not when Rocky III was the fourth highest grossing film at the domestic box office in 1982 worldwide.
Damn.
And the theme song, Eye of the Tiger, was obviously the best theme song in the world.
Of all time. Yeah, it's freaking up that dude. If you
dude,
don't listen
Eye of the
to that
Tiger,
and get pumped,
on.
There is something wrong
I forgot
with you.
That was Rocky's theme song, Rocky 3. Nice.
Dude, Eye of the Tiger.
All right, buddy. Well,
love
should
it.
We
anyway,
should we move
check
on?
That one out. Let's move on.
Move
Jump
on.
Over to, what's his name?
Steve? Dave Smith.
No, Dave.
Davey Dave. Smith. Davey Dave Smith, the libertarian. Gotta love that.
Yeah, again, I mean, heady. I don't want to go on too much
that was
here.
Heady.
What are we at time-wise?
We're at 41 minutes, my friend.
Okay. Yeah, let's make it kind of short. I mean, listen, it's interesting, right? And, you know, they jump on a lot of points. I mean, Biden, Ukraine, Hunter, the ties there.
9/11.
There's some funny business going on. Yeah, 9/11 stuff. They're flying the Saudis out. They're flying, you know, Bin Laden's family out. It's like how do people like we people know this happened,
mm-hmm,
and it's just kind of glossed over.
It's or you like, get yelled at for talking about it.
People think you're nuts, and it's just like okay, I guess we want to live in like a pretend reality most of the time, you know, where we're like no, that couldn't possibly be like that because. That would mean that the government is all fucked up. And I'm like, I think it might be.
Well, of course it is. Of course it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... I mean, it was a heady one, but man, was it? It was informational and absolutely worth talking about.
Yeah, one bit also when they brought up Sam Harris,
mm-hmm,
and You know, obviously, super smart guy, speaks well. I've always been a fan. But recently, he has been on this thing about being behind, like, we've lost trust in these institutions, you know, FDA,
CDC, of course we have.
Science, you know, in general, blah, blah, blah. And then he's like, we need to get back on that. And people like Joe Rogan and Jordan Peterson, or whoever he says, like a bunch of other people, he's like saying that they're causing this or encouraging it, and it's bad for humanity and the way we think. And I can't be on board with that, man. I feel like, hold on, why is it not okay to question, lose faith, and be frustrated in governments, institutions, companies that have lied to us,
amen,
cheated us, and maybe stolen from us? It's like, it's their responsibility to win our trust. Like, why should we just be on board with that, right?
Well, we shouldn't be. They just want us to be, and that's where all the propaganda is moving towards.
But this is what Sam Harris is saying. He's saying these people, like Rogan, shouldn't be speaking out.
That's such
about
bullshit.
These things.
No, I don't like Sam Harris.
We need
after
confidence
that.
In these things.
No,
I don't know if I can trust that.
I
now.
Used to like him. I don't like that. Who is he getting paid by to say that? Who's fronting his
probably
mortgage?
Probably no one. I believe that he's a very honest okay. person that no one's in his pocket.
And he's hating on Rogan because
he
why?
He believes what he's saying. Because and he's very
why?
Smart.
Because why? He's saying that Rogan has people on that maybe have some discerning
different ideas
that aren't maybe may or may not be true.
Well, I think what he's worried about is by encouraging these people on and having this dialogue, it's encouraging a lot of people in the world, in this country, to not believe in these systems,
right.
And we need them to help us, right? So they're the best we've got. Yeah, they make mistakes, but they're the best we've got, and people need to have confidence in them. Otherwise, if we're not listening to anyone, we're not going to be able to help ourselves if there's like real pandemics and real bad things happening. So it's kind of logical, but the problem is it's like forced conformity, and it's like, okay, we just blindly do it. I think it's the institution's responsibility to gain the people's trust. And if you have lost it, which you have, then fucking show us like some good things about you.
I hear you.
Right. Show us being like, you know, that you can be honest. And you can admit to making mistakes and take things back and change things and be useful. I mean, whatever. I'm not happy with what he said. It doesn't fill me with confidence. And it's a real bummer because I just always felt like he was one of the wisest people I'd ever heard speak, honestly. And now I'm not sure.
Well, I got to say, this was right at the beginning, but Ramaswamy, I did not realize that this 37-year-old tech... looks like a Indian tech dude. Vivek Ramaswamy is the he's seeking GOP presidential nomination, and he is saying, I don't believe the 9/11 Commission report. Amen to that. I love when people speak out about stuff. I mean, I don't care what side of the fence you're on. That's why I appreciate libertarians, right? They kind of sway both ways a little bit.
I hope there's a point in time where people can get a hold of some real information from that time. And I'd be really curious to know all the truth.
And all he said is, all he said, and they pointed this out several times, I don't believe the government has told us the truth. He didn't say it was a conspiracy theory or we were part of it. He just says, I don't think they told us the truth. And they clearly did not. That is a fact. We know that now. Like you said, they're flying Saudis out. People in the Bin Laden family are getting flown out the next day by Bush Jr. Explain that one.
What the fuck?
Explain that one. You don't think there's some weird shit going on there, guys? And we're not allowed to talk about this like 20 freaking 2 years later, however long, you know. Yeah, when did that happen? 2001?
Yeah. One of the weirdest things was when they first told him and he's at that school and he just sits there and stares for like 6 minutes.
He knew.
It's like, what the... It's almost like someone, a group of people told him this was going to happen. They're like, this is why this is going to happen, and we're going to do this. And it's, you know, for the greater good of the country or however they spun it, like, we're doing this. And it's going to set these balls in, you know, this whole thing in motion. And then we're going to invade all these countries and blah, blah, blah. And he's just like, wait, what? And then it happens. And he's just sat there like in shock, just going, holy shit, the president really doesn't run anything. And I'm going to have to lie about this for years.
Well, we all knew Cheney was the president at that time. I mean, come on.
Right.
Come on.
Oh, what a
time.
So,
yeah, good stuff.
Let's wrap it up. You know, listen to Dave, and there's a lot of good information in there. He's obviously a smart guy. I enjoy it. It's, you know, heady and political, but it's not as depressing as it sounds.
No.
There's some cool information in there. And, you know, if you've been frustrated about COVID and all the rest of it, I mean, they really line some stuff out. You know what I mean?
I just want Dave to take some tips from Tim Dillon. Be a little bit more funny when you're talking about serious shit. It makes it a little bit more lighthearted and more fun to talk about. Okay, come on. Take some tips from our boy.
He's going to do it the way he does it, brother. All right? Not every podcast has to be funny. I get it.
All right. Well,
all right, guys. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate you as always. And yeah, shout out to our boys over at Audio Boom. They are great. We appreciate them. And laters, nerds. Talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks for tuning in. Peace.